All right, good job, guys. Why don't you give him another hand while we transition here? Very good. So, my name is Matto. It is good to be back with you all. And you guys, as a church, have been involved for a very long time. I want the campers to know that there have been people in this church serving at Pine Valley longer than your counselors have been alive. There's been people from this community that have been giving scholarship money to help you to be able to attend. There's been men and women that come down throughout the weeks and on the weekends to help us with a variety of projects. Think about this. Whenever I was in high school, there were men in this community, guys who retired from a lifetime of hard work, and they decided they were going to spend some of their free time coming down every single week to Pine Valley to help us fix things and build things to bless you guys. So I want you guys to know that these are some of the people that make camp possible for all of us. So I want the campers and staff to give a round of applause for the Concord Church. All right, very good. Hey, let me open us in prayer. God, would you speak through your word? Would you speak through me to the people sitting in this room? Speak to hearts and minds. Make us more like your son, Jesus Christ. I pray this in your name. Amen. All right. I want to look at Romans. I love Romans. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I enjoyed the children's sermon. I'm not sure what you're doing in a couple of summers, but if you ever want a job as a camp counselor, we're just a few miles away. So that was awesome. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we could go on. We may hit some more of chapter 12. But I wanted to kind of hang out a little bit and unpack these verses because they're so full and so rich. And there's so much application for us who are followers of Jesus Christ. And so first, it starts in verse 1 with therefore. So here's some homework for you. Go home and read chapters 1 all the way up to 12 to find out what the therefore is there for. But there's just a couple of things we can highlight. How about in chapter 8? For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. At Pine Valley, we hope that the gospel message of Jesus Christ takes root in the hearts and minds of some of these kids, and that creation will rejoice and celebrate with us as we see God's family grow and unfold. Amen. All creation waits in eager expectation for the adoption to sonship, for the redemption of our bodies. We're all, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we have been bought by the blood of Christ. The adoption price is unimaginable. It's insurmountable. What is the therefore? Therefore, God made a way for us to be adopted into his family now. And yes, we have cancer now, but one day, right, the big C will cleanse that little C and make all things whole and all things new. That is good news that we boldly proclaim at Pine Valley and hope and pray that these kids would one day grasp and realize and receive the good news of the gospel. Chapter 9, it does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. God's mercy. If you declare, this is chapter 10, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That is such good news. And I don't have time, we don't have time to read all of the chapters leading up to chapter 12, but just to touch on a little bit of what the therefore is there for, let's look at chapter 12 together. Therefore, I urge you. Now, the author here is Paul, but standing up here reading this, I, Matto, from Pine Valley Camp, also urge you, encourage you, implore you to what? Well, not the what. Who's the you? Let's just hang out there. Who's the you? Well, this audience was to the early Roman church, right? But we have the benefit of looking at this and reading this together. So you, Concord Church, grandfathers and grandmothers, aunts and uncles, pastors and laypersons, you, what are you identified as? In chapter 1, brothers and sisters. Do we behave like brothers and sisters? Do we behave like brothers and sisters who were bought with the blood of God? We were bought back from the sin that wants to enslave us. We were bought from death, invited into life eternal. And we have been adopted by a perfect, holy God. While we were yet sinners, God looked at us. While we were yet sinners, Christ laid down his life and died for us, taking on the consequence, the wrath from his Father, God. He took my consequences upon himself so that I could be a son. Which means if you were a Christ father, you are my brother and my sister. We may not know each other well now, but we will, because we got forever to be in the presence of our good and loving Father. But while we are here on earth, do we behave like, do we live in the reality that we are brothers and sisters? Next, in view of God's mercy, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Therefore, I urge you, family of God. Therefore, I urge you, those who claim the name of Jesus Christ. I urge you, those who have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Those who realize that their sin should cost them death. They deserve, we deserve, I deserve the wrath of God. But instead of the wrath of God, I have received the grace of God, which is a gift I do nothing for. It is a gift that he has given. And because I have received that gift, we are family. And so therefore, in view of God's mercy, we can spend all day and we can't encapsulate how good the mercy of God is. And the longer I live and the more time I spend reading the Word of God, trying to renew my mind, the more I'm overwhelmed with his mercy. And what I see here is that my big brother Paul urges me to live in view of God's mercy. That means, here's my natural default. I don't know if you can relate. When I wake up in the morning, I think through the filter of Matto. And what does Matto want? What does Matto think? How does Matto feel? Right? That's my natural default. That's my sin nature, is to engage the world and consume from the world based on me, 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 me. But what if I woke up and what if we woke up as brothers and sisters and lived and moved and breathed and had our being in view of God's mercy? Who God is, do we really know who God is and how holy God is? And do we know who we are prior to Christ and who we get to be because of Christ? So in view of God's mercy, what are we to do? Concord, what are we to do? Pine Valley counselors and campers. in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we are to make an offering to God. In view of what God has done for us, we have the opportunity every day to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. In the context prior to Christ, people were used to sacrifices, whether it was pagan sacrifices or Jewish sacrifices. But the idea of a sacrifice is it costs you something, right? Some people sacrificed livestock, and some people brought their first fruits. If it was the Hebrews, the Jews, they had things that God told them to sacrifice. The pagans would sacrifice things too, like each other or their own children, in order to keep God happy. But in all cases, sacrifice cost us something, and we see our example in Christ. There is no greater love than this, right? He who lays down his life for a friend. Christ is the ultimate picture of being a sacrifice so that he could have relationship with us. So we are to be a sacrifice. This is your true and proper worship. I love music, all forms and, well, not all forms and styles, but most forms and styles I have a deep appreciation for. It is a powerful and awesome gift from God. I love singing the truths of God and renewing our mind through song. And so sometimes I make the cultural mistake of thinking of the word worship just in terms of those who sing well and sing loud. And I don't realize that, no, there is so much more to what it means to worship than just to sing a song. And yes, that is a fraction of it. And for those of you that have the gift of singing, praise the Lord that you were born with that. But our lives should be a song that reflects on his mercy. It should be about him, about how good he is as God, as creator, as author, as savior, all those things. So when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, that is true and proper worship. True and proper would indicate that, yeah, there's a wrong way. There's wrong ways, perhaps many wrong ways to bring your offerings or to worship God, right? Obedience is better than sacrifice. You could, like in Luke, you could be the man that's sitting before God and saying, oh, Lord, thank you that I'm not like those sinners over there. So be careful. Be careful. Renew your mind with God's standards and how he describes worship and how he describes right relationship, so that we don't show up in a place like this or a community with our chests puffed out thinking we're all that. May we have the right posture. May it be true worship. How do we know what true worship is? We've already heard about that. Verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform. It is so easy to conform. Please empty our table of prayer cards and pray for these campers. Pray that they would not conform. There are so many competing voices competing and vying for our time, our attention, our affection. And just because you sit in these pews doesn't make you immune to being conformed to the image of the world and to the likeness of the world. I don't know what you consume. I'm not saying any one of these things is evil. Maybe they are. But, you know, how much news? Pick a channel, pick a side, I don't care, CNN, Fox. What you consume is going to conform you. Right? What you consume can begin to consume you. So what are you, older generation? What's coming into the doors of your house, in your eyes and in your ears? And you will become like that image, right? You will become like that voice. I don't care if it's Joe Rogan or TikTok or wherever you are on the spectrum of information and ideologies. Paul is clear. God is clear. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed. God is the transformation agent. The Holy Spirit is what will prick your conscience and challenge you to say, kind of pump the brakes and go, oh, this doesn't sound right. This doesn't look right. But ultimately, for us as brothers and sisters, we need to not just not conform, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Be renewed by the transformation of your mind. Study the Word of God like He means what He says. Study the Word of God like this is true, like this is real, right? That you can know what His will is for your life. That you can know what your will is for that relationship, for your marriage, for your parenting, for your co-workers, for all these dynamics that you have to navigate. This is chock full of God's wisdom for life. It can show you how to be and live and love like Jesus Christ. But the world is loud and the world is intoxicating and deceptive. So we need the Word of God to make us look like children of God. So when the world looks on Concord Community Church, I just threw community in there. Everybody has a community. I don't think you guys have community. Concord Church, when the world looks at Pine Valley, they'd go, wow. They would do what Jesus said they would do. When the world looks at us in relationship with each other, they would go, wow. Wow, look at how they love each other. Look at how they treat each other. Look at how they talk to and about each other. It's almost like they're family. It's almost like they're family with like this unimaginable capacity for grace and mercy. Where does that come from? This unimaginable capacity for grace and mercy. How can that seem superhuman, supernatural? Of course it is. Because we know what we deserve and we know what we have been bought from. We know the chains of spiritual slavery, of addiction and all this stuff, whatever God has delivered you from. We should have this supernatural ability because God is living in us to love each other in a way that blows the world's mind. But we only know how to do that when we renew our mind and we allow to be transformed by God's standard of living and loving and behaving. One of the things I love about Pine Valley is we have the opportunity to live in community. It's temporary, but we live together, right? So, we, you know, sharing cabins and bunk houses, and you see each other early in the morning when you're kind of all disheveled, and middle of the day when you're in the pool and life is good and you're eating candy and you're swimming, and you kind of all the highs and lows of living together. It's one of the reasons, one of my favorite things about Pine Valley is the staff who enlist for a season for the sake of the mission, right? So they show up, they say, hey, I'm here, I'm all in, kind of like going to war. Like, whenever you sign up for the military, what I mean by that is, whenever you sign up for the military, you sign that line, it's like, they own you. It's like, you're whatever you tell me to do, I'm doing it. Our summer staff, who show up at camp, they're like, I'm all in. Like, right? I'm not checking out, I'm not pumping in like 6-8 hours doing my shift. No, they're there, living together, pouring their life out. And one of the cool things that I get to witness and have witnessed for over 20 years is the transformation that happens when people offer themselves as a living sacrifice. Say, I'm going to spend my summer loving and serving someone else. This isn't for me. I'm not financially going to benefit greatly, but I am going to learn what it means to lay my life down, to wake up when I don't want to wake up, to manage somebody else's kids, like somebody else's kids. Awesome. These ones are the really cool ones. They're all great. But even they can be knuckleheads, right? And so every day, showing up to say, here I am. Here I am. One of the things, campers don't know this, but if you work for us someday, one of the things we tell our staff is camp is for the campers. Camp is for the campers. Camp is, this is not about you. You're not a chaperone. You are here to serve these kids. Parents, grandparents, if you want your kids to become more like Christ, throw them into situations where they have to live like Christ. And talk to us afterwards. We can tell you how you do that. But it's this little microcosm of having to live in community. So when there's conflict, you got to work it out, and you got to extend grace, and you got to have conversations and seek to understand and do all these things and behave like what is said and what has happened is true. To behave in view of God's mercy. And so when we live in community, and the more closer you are in proximity, and the more time there is, the more opportunity there is. Because the more opportunity there is to love and serve, but then there's also more opportunity for friction and disagreement. And we've got to decide, do we believe what he has said? And do we believe what he has done to make us one with him and with each other? So, there's so much we could say here. A few questions for you. Be sensitive to time. So at camp, when I was the program director years ago, I was in charge of keeping like the schedule going, you know, ringing the bell, blowing the whistle, getting from one thing to the next thing. So kind of came up with this framework for time. I called it Matto Minutes. So I'm just so you know, I have this my own time where a Matto Minute is a way to communicate, hey, I'm aiming for a minute, but it's not going to be precisely a minute. So I apologize if that's just my paradigm for time. So I'm working with Matto Minutes up here. But we're good. A few questions for you guys. Worship. All of life is worship. This is worship. In view of God's mercy, do we live in view of God's mercy? Do we view each other as family? Not just family, but family that was worth the blood of Christ. Do we treat each other like Christ died for the person opposite of you? Do we treat them like image bearers worthy of the blood of God? Do we love each other sacrificially? Do we live in view of God's mercy? Are we conformed to this world? Do we look like, sound like, smell like, behave like the world? Or do we look like what is shown in scriptures, what God models and demonstrates? Have we been transformed by not a weekly? Weekly's not enough. This is not enough to renew your mind. You need a steady drip of fellowship with your heavenly Father to become more like his Son, your big brother, Jesus Christ. If your pastor is the only drip to transform your mind, the world is much louder. And that is where you're living. That is where you are immersed. You are to be in it, but not of it. So are you actively participating in the transformation process? Personally, privately, but then collectively, corporately. Do we view each day as got to or get to? So just not to miss anybody, I don't care. So I have the privilege of being in full-time ministry. But if you believe what Christ said, so do all of you. Every single one of you. The only reason you're still breathing is to make the goodness of God known to those who are around you. So do it all. Whatever your hands find to do, do it all to the glory of God. Moms, my wife's got 8 kids. We have 8 kids, sorry. But she is always with our 8 kids, right? I can't wait. Every time we think we're done with these, the Lord says, ha ha. But I don't care what your occupation is. This is worship. When you live in view of God's mercy, you're not just changing diapers. You are pouring into shaping and molding eternal beings to the glory of God. So do it. Do it in view of God's mercy. You're a school teacher. Do it in view of God's mercy. You're a shift worker down at the thing, the mill, the factory. Do it. Some of the most potent and power evangelists that I personally know were shift workers in Armco, who could not complete a sentence without pointing to the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ because of what God, in the view of his mercy, what he saved them from, what he snatched them out of. There's a couple of guys, mill workers, that have done more discipleship and Bible study out of their house than some pastors. And they faithfully proclaim the gospel. My grandfather sold maps to schools. But he lived in view of God's mercy. He loved his boys and his wife and served in his church. So I don't care where you are or what you're doing. Live in view of God's mercy. I was keeping this just in case. It's getting more and more dangerous to preach nowadays. You guys saw that video from Australia, right? So don't get any ideas. Sorry. Some of you know what I'm talking about if you watch the news. No. So I'm wrapping it up. A few years ago, there's so many people. Hey, campers, just so you guys know, there's so many people that make camp possible for you. So many. People like this. Give money, give time. And we always call people like, oh, they partner with Pine Valley. And which is just kind of really generic. And so we brought some clarity. And one of the things, one of the partners we have, we call them craftsmen. Okay? Craftsmen. Now, a craftsman is somebody who does skilled work. They're good at what they do. There's a whole bunch of people that have different skills. And actually, Romans 12 goes on to talk about having different gifts and skills and how you're supposed to use those. And you're supposed to celebrate those. And anyways, all kinds of good stuff. Well, over 20 years ago now, I think, there were some guys from this community in a Sunday school class who had skills. Some of them were good at building stuff. Some of them were good at their electricians, which is really dangerous because you could, like, cook yourself if you do something wrong. But they had all these different skills. And guess what? They had recently retired, and they didn't want to just live life for themselves, even though they spent their whole life working, and now it's time to take it easy and golf and do all those things you do before you die. But they decided that they were going to give their time and their skills to God. And when I was in high school, a big group of guys from this church would show up on Tuesdays. Every Tuesday, and they would work all day. They would take a break for coffee at 10, they would eat lunch at 2, and then they'd work into the afternoon. And for years, they fixed things at camp so that you guys could have a good time. And they built cabins and buildings and all kinds of stuff. Actually, I could take everybody here on a tour at Pine Valley to show them all the awesome things that a few skilled men did. Because they didn't view life and time and their talents and their resources for themselves. They viewed it in light of God's mercy and his goodness. And every one of you can do that. Whether you're a student or a mom or a CEO or a pastor. The one thing that is true is that we, if you believe in Christ, we are family. And we should act like it. We should live like it in view of God's mercy. Let's be living sacrifices. Let me pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your incredible love. Thank you for the people in these pews that have faithfully loved you where you have placed them, where you have planted them. Thank you that we get to be friends and neighbors. Thank you for all the ways in which they have helped us to make the good news of Jesus known to the campers who come to camp. Bless this church. Bless this community. Make them more like Jesus and make them a tighter-knit family. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.